You are listening to WXRWLP Milwaukee 104.1 FM and RiverWestRadio.com globally, as well as CreamCityMedia.com/anti. Again, everybody, I'm your host, NTSC, and welcome once more to The Anti, a weekly primer on freedom. The Anti is anti-authoritarian, anti-capitalist, anti-hierarchy, anti-sexist, anti-racist, anti-fascist, and more. If we are against so much, what do we stand for? The ideals of freedom. In this series, we explore what a free society would look like while recognizing that none of us today are actually free. As ever, WXRW River West Radio needs your help. Times are tough for nonprofits, and especially so for us nonprofits who seek to engage, educate, and activate the at-risk and the disenfranchised. If you would like to help us out, donate today online. You can join our Patreon campaign. You can just donate through the website, www.riverwestradio.com. You can come in physically and visit us at the station during our hours of operation, which are 3:30 to, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, something like that. It's at 824 East Center Street. And while you're there, you can purchase some gear. We've got hats and shirts. Put those on your body. Or you can get a mug. Use that mug to drink fluids. Better yet, if you represent a local entity of some kind, a business or an organization, reach out to us and become an official underwriter. You can support us, and in so doing, we will make sure that everybody knows about you and the good work that you're doing. Okay. At time of broadcast here in Wisconsin, we are toying around with the idea of transitioning into spring. There is still some strange weather tiptoeing around, but things are looking brighter every single day. We're getting longer and longer days. We're getting more and more sunshine. We're getting more and more phone calls from telemarketers, which is exactly what that just was. Gonna go ahead, turn this sucker to silent. Yeah, that was absolutely a telemarketer. Oh, this is fascinating. I can look at how many telemarketer phone calls I've gotten today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six today alone. Well, that was really funny. Today's show isn't going to be about robocalls or telemarketers. Lots of podcasts have been touching on those topics. What would my hot take be if I was going to do a show about robocalling? I think you can probably all guess by now if you've listened to the show at all. Capitalism sucks. That would be my general take on that whole thing. No, this week's episode, I haven't written anything for this. I haven't done any research for this whatsoever. And I'll tell you why. I'm super busy these days. I'm busy in a really good way. Busy in the kind of way that a person wants to be busy. Working on a lot of projects creatively that are inspiring me. I've been reaching out to local businesses in an attempt to secure more underwriting for WXRW because we are desperately in need of more funding. I've been working on more projects with the Milwaukee branch of the Industrial Workers of the World. Frequent listeners will remember that I got my red card not too long ago. I've been working with the Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee to try and reach out to people who are incarcerated within the Wisconsin Department of Corrections and help them, give them resources. So lots of very interesting things are going on. So this week, the title of this episode, I'm just going to call it Riffing Part 2, because we had Riffing Part 1 a while ago. which episode was that? You know, here, let's go online. We'll remind ourselves which episode that was, so I can have some semblance or some sense of how many of these I'm doing. That was episode number 28. This is going to be episode 42, so I feel like I haven't riffed in a while, so we'll just riff. When I woke up today, I felt optimistic. I had a sense of positivity around me because I'd been thinking a lot about a phrase that I use quite a lot called our shared natural heritage. And that phrase covers more than just the shared heritage that we all benefit from, that is the earth, you know. That is an incredible heritage, and it's definitely a heritage that's being put at significant risk these days by industry, you know, by corporate interests, essentially, and the governments who are unwilling to stop them because those governments are controlled by them. So that is a large part. The earth is a large part of our natural shared heritage, but an even larger part of our shared heritage is our shared human history. History quite often gets broken down into unnatural chunks. It gets chunked up by borders. So you'll have American history, you'll have British history, you'll have the histories typically of the horrible colonizers and empires that spread their talons and tendrils across the globe over the millennia, enslaving indigenous populations and their own populations, all to benefit the rich elites, the few minorities, the elites that control the world even to this day. That's not really our shared history. Our shared history doesn't care about borders. It doesn't care about languages. It doesn't care about the differences between us. Our shared history is a history of giving. Our shared history is truly a history of support, solidarity, and mutual aid. Because our shared history is not the history that gets written about in the books. It's not the imperialists. It's not the colonizers. It's not the governments, the presidents, the kings, the queens, the dictators, the CEOs. They don't matter. They never have mattered. But because they want people to think that they matter, that's what the history books get written about. But our real history is so much better than that rigid storyline that all those in power want you to memorize and care about. Our shared history is incredible. I wish there was a library, vast and endless, filled with row after row of towering bookshelves, and on those shelves filled nearly to overflowing with volume after volume of book written about the everyday people who created the world. Because it was on the backs of the workers, it was in the arms of mothers and fathers, it was at the table of teachers and educators, it was in the mind of inventors, and it was our combined labor that created all of the wonders of this world that we all benefit from incredibly in our daily lives. Had it not been for that incredible legacy, we would have nothing today. And I think I'm going to use today's episode to expound on that, because all of us are heroes, and we are all unsung heroes, except perhaps sung by those that we have touched directly, you know, those whose lives we have touched or impacted in some way directly. So let's talk about our natural shared heritage, and let's break through that false narrative that we've all been taught in schools as history. Because that stuff is all BS. And what I'd like to talk about today is the real story. I could try and find a line from Pyotr Kropotkin's The Conquest of Bread that talks a little bit about this phenomenon, but I'm not going to take the time to find it. Today is not a day of research. Today is a day of riffing. But to paraphrase the line, it talks about how the capitalist industrialists and the corporatists have managed to leverage our shared heritage to earn vast sums of profit from it. Let's just take, for example, let's take Edison, right? For a long time, Edison was always looked at as this incredible inventor, you know? Oh, he invented the light bulb and blah, blah, blah. Edison was a phenomenal jerk. What he was actually good at was leveraging the free labor of inventors that came before him and made their inventions freely available to people through the generosity of their spirit. And he copyrighted it. That's what he was very good at. Edison was exceptionally good at trademarking things. At the height of his power, Edison employed probably hundreds. I'm not going to do the research because, again, today is not about research. But he employed a vast number of inventors, creative people. He hired them, paid them very low wages, I'm sure, and then trademarked all of their inventions that they came up with as his own. Edison was not a creative person. He was very, very good at stealing the creativity of others and making an obscene fortune from it. So he would be a good example because without all of the technological advances that had preceded him, he would have been incapable of inventing, quote unquote, any of the products that he would eventually bring to market. Struggling for a good example because I'm looking out the window and it's just beautiful right now. Little birds are flitting to and fro. They appear to be sparrows. A chickadee now and then will rear its head. I just love birds, you guys. Birds are so cute. Birds are just terrible jerks to each other. Ugh. Their culture is just so horrible. They are bullies in the extreme. But I guess that's flock mentality. My wife and I learned a little bit about flock mentality a while ago. It appears to work for birds. But anyway, birds are super cute. What was I talking about? We're just riffing today, everybody. We're riffing our way through this stuff, talking about our shared natural heritage. None of the industrialists, none of the corporatists, none of the quote unquote inventors today would be able to invent anything without so much technology that was freely created and disseminated before they were even born. Let's just take, for example, like, say, my nephews and nieces. I've got great nephews and nieces who are brilliant, industrious, wonderful, creative people. The shared heritage that they have not, that they haven't put any equity into the creation of, the internet. Oh, this will be a great example. The internet will be a wonderful example for me to talk about for a large portion of this week's episode. So my nephews and nieces are all incredibly computer literate because they have had computers available. They've had iPads and pods and various crap like that just since they were babies. They've grown up with the internet. Well, the internet, for the most part, is a fantastic example of a kind of anarcho-communist entity because so much of it is created and distributed entirely for free. Hypertext markup language, for example, is not proprietary. HTML, the building blocks, HTML, CSS, PHP, the structures on which every website is built are completely free. They're not proprietary in any way, shape, or form. If you have a crappy word processor, you can write a web page. You don't have to pay anybody squat for that. I mean, obviously, you'll need to pay to use the internet. There's no internet service provider that's free. But if you can get online, you can access billions and billions of hours of tutorials, for example. Here's a great one. Say you're working on a project. Say you're using hypertext markup language, or you're using CSS or PHP is an even better one. Say you're trying to use PHP and you're learning it, and you don't have the money to take a course, go to school, you know, get a computer science degree, because that stuff's expensive. The cost of secondary education has skyrocketed while wages have stagnated. The good news is the internet is absolutely full of completely free information in the form of tutorials, but beyond that, in the form of completely freely accessible communities that are built entirely on the concept that people can go on there and ask a question and get industry leading professionals who are pioneers in technology to just help them solve their problem completely free of charge. Stack Overflow is a perfect example. Hundreds of thousands of computer scientists just answering the questions of noobs and plebs who show up out of nowhere and just say, hey, I've got this problem. And within an hour, dozens of industry leaders, you know, with hundreds of decades of combined experience, will just go, oh, we need some more information. We will help you solve this problem. Like, for example, I do game development. There is no game developer in this world today who has not in some way benefited from some free online community to be able to build the project that they're working on. I guarantee it. That's just one incredible example. So to go back to my nieces and nephews, for example, if they want to learn to do anything, they can learn to do that thing just by hopping online and looking up a video on how to do it. And all of those videos were created by the people who made them, for the most part, just to share what they know for free. Now, there might be some cynics out there that say, oh, but you can monetize your YouTube video, or you can monetize your Vimeo video, or blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you absolutely can. But let me ask you a quick question. Is your favorite part of the internet the advertising? Do you jump online specifically for the ads? Are you like, oh man, I just can't wait until I'm advertised to again. That just gets me all jazzed up for the day. I just can't wait until I can log in somewhere and have some huge multinational conglomerate mine my data and then sell it without my consent so I can be further advertised to. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that that's not your favorite thing about the internet. Your favorite thing about the internet is the billions of hours of free entertainment that are available, or the billions of resources that are available to help you learn how to do literally anything you want, or the hundreds of thousands of people with whom you can interact if you want on a daily basis, totally for free. That's my guess. I'm guessing that's your favorite part of the internet. And with the overarching ubiquity of free Wi-Fi at places like cafes all around, at least America, you don't actually have to pay for your internet service provider. You just have to have some device that is Wi-Fi capable, and you can flit anywhere you want and use that internet and benefit from millions of people distributing their knowledge and distributing their labor in particular entirely free of charge. There might be nothing more anarcho-communist than the internet, now that I'm thinking about it. And I do recognize, again for you cynics that are listening, that the internet exists currently in a capitalism. But really, it exists despite capitalism, not because of it. If people were actually allowed to share what they wanted to share free of charge, the human spirit has an amazing propensity towards charity, just because it's in our human nature to want to help one another. That's just a fundamental. Here's something that I think about sometimes, and we probably need to do an episode about privilege to go more in depth into this kind of thing, but the lottery, what can be called the birth lottery, is part of an individual's heritage. So, for example, anyone lucky enough to be born into an English-speaking culture, an English-speaking family, already has an incredible leg up. I can go back to my nieces and nephews. The very fact that English is their primary language means that they benefit miraculously. They will be able to go just about anywhere in this world and be understood, because for some stupid colonial imperialist reason, English, this backwards, absurd language that makes no sense whatsoever, has become the lingua franca, which is funny that that means the French language. But anyway, that's a part of, you know, heritage that nobody had to pay into. You know, that stuff is just the birth lottery. That's another good example of our incredible shared heritage that makes it possible for human life to flourish despite the cruelties of capitalism. Actually, you know what? Let's approach it from a different angle. I'm gonna talk about the history that I wish we had written, that history that I talked about before, that I mentioned earlier. Instead of talking about the CEOs of a company, instead of talking about the kings and the queens and the dictators and the empresses and the emperors and all of those jerks who contributed nothing to this world, let's talk about all the hundreds of billions of people who have come before us. I don't know if it's hundreds of billions. Again, I'm not going to do research. Lots and lots of people are dead. And they worked and they slaved and they invented and they created and they innovated. Here's an example. We can go back to Kropotkin. And we also talked about this in, I think, maybe our episode on automation. I can't remember. But Kropotkin mentioned that the capitalist, the industrialist, will design new methods and new machines for creating their wares by observing the techniques that are used by their workers, because obviously the workers are the people that are making this stuff. They're the people that are creating these products. They're the people that do everything that actually produce value in our society. And an example of that is that t-shirt sewing machine that we mentioned a few episodes ago. That machine was designed entirely by machine learning that observed the motions of garment workers, women in particular. It is all of the workers who have come and gone, who have clocked in and shed their blood and their sweat in the workplace. And also not just the workplace, but the home. If if we were actually to sing the praises of the people who created this world, it would be parents. By and large, it would be mothers, because for so long, women were just expected to stay home and raise families, and that is maybe the most important thing a human being has ever done, is raise a family. Because all of us come from someone. We came out of a woman, every single one of us. And not all of our parents are perfect people. That would be an impossibility. I'm very, very lucky that my parents are incredible and have been incredible to me and my sisters my whole life, and did an amazing job creating critically thinking, rational, passionate, loving, caring people. Not all of us get awesome parents, but we all had them. Every single one of us had to have somebody. And those people are the true builders of the world, if you really think about it. You don't even have to think about it that much. I'm using this tone of voice like I'm saying something so profound. There's nothing profound about this. This is the easiest thing in the world to recognize. The amazing legacy, the histories that should be taught, are the histories of our moms and dads and grandmothers and grandparents, and what they did to try and make the lives of their children and grandchildren and nieces and nephews better than their own. You know, even the most horrible capitalist CEO, even though they're mostly psychopaths who don't care about anyone but themselves, a lot of them, at least, you know, externally appear to care a little bit about their own progeny, you know, to at least the extent that they'll create trust funds for them and stuff like that. It's a human desire to want to care for your family. And I feel the larger we can expand that sphere of what family is to us and the definition of what qualifies as family, the better off we will be, because one of the greatest lies we've ever been told is that you are separate from everyone else, that you are an entity which is somehow sovereign. And you certainly have authority over your body. You certainly have autonomy in your actions, and those are sacred things. But you are not separate from me. You are not separate from the person sitting next to you. The breath you exhale gets inhaled by everyone around you. It is a shared oxygen. It is a shared environment we have. The water I pee out gets redistributed after going through Milwaukee's, you know, water treatment center. You drink that. It's gross, but it's the truth. You are not a separate entity from me. I am not a separate entity from you. We are more than family. If I get real weird about it, I am you, and you are me. We are just extensions of one another. Oh my gosh, look at how the time has absolutely flown. Well, thank you so much for listening to The Anti here on WXRW. We've just been riffing. I've been your host, NTSC, and I will be back again next week to discuss further topics as they relate to freedom and our awesome shared potential. Next week, I'll do research and it'll be like a real show. Past episodes can be found at creamcitymedia.com/anti. More information about the show can be found at riverwestradio.com. Bye!